Boy, I can really give you a lot of my thoughts today, but I'm not going to do that. I want to focus on one thought, because Jesus said, seek the truth, and the truth will set you free. Remember what Pilate said to Jesus? Okay, Jesus, what's truth? Well, that's what I want to focus on a little bit. You know, John, he wrote the Gospel of John. He was the one who received the revelation from Christ in the book of Revelation. And then he also penned three different epistles. Amazing. But the one I want to focus on today is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through, let's see, 1 through 8, I guess. Hear God's word. And this is about discerning, meaning seeking truth, discerning false prophets. And we know there's a lot of false prophets in the world today. Just pay attention to the things that are going on in the world, both in our cultures and our governments and the things that are going on in the Middle East. So I thought maybe we ought to think about this, discerning. Hear what John said in chapter 4 of 1 John. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if they speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is the way to find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet acknowledges, hear this church, that Jesus Christ became a human being and that person has the Spirit of God, if a prophet does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist. Now, basically, you know, that's what we're experiencing now. Anybody that is for Christ is Antichrist or against Christ. And that's the challenge that we have in this world today. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. And you have heard that he is going to come into the world. Oh, hear this. And he is already here. But I love the buts in scriptures. You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these false prophets, because the spirit lives in you is in greater than the spirit who lives in the world. These people belong to the world, so they speak from a world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, we being whoever are Christ followers. That is why those who know God listen to us. Thank God for the church and speaking the truth of Scripture. If, and I love the buts and the ifs, this is an if, they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us, that is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Wow, that's kind of eye-opening, isn't it? So, you know, that's why we say that we got to seek the truth, and we got to allow the Spirit of the living God to reside in us so we can have discernment in these days and time. I think the Bible makes it very clear about the claims of spiritual truth. Truth is absolute and constant, despite our feelings and beliefs to the contrary. Human beings have always wanted to reserve the right to discern spiritual truths while we are ready, and when we are ready to accept truth in other arenas, we have to have discernment. You think about the law of gravity and the rules of mathematics. We like to pick and choose when it comes to spiritual truth. But the Bible makes it very clear that we do not determine truth, but rather we discover truth. Now that's an interesting concept, to discover truth. How do you do that? You open your hearts and mind for the spirit of truth, which is God's spirit available to us. But we're also free to ignore truth. I think that's the hardest part. This free will thing can get us in a lot of trouble, but it's also very beneficial. But it does give us the right to ignore truth. So, if we choose, we do so at our own risk. The Bible says, choose life and have it more abundantly. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. It says over in the Psalms, it talks about God's words being true. His laws are just and they stand forever. You see, God's word is an extension of God's truthful character. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we've been talking a lot about that with the Holy, I call it the Holy Spirit school. All it is trying to allow the scriptures to enlighten you to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then opens and minds and enlightens us with the truth and the light of Christ. And then our hearts accept that truth. Jesus said, I came into this world to bring truth, and all who love the truth recognize what I say is true. Remember what Pilate said? What is truth? And Jesus was standing there. Pilate didn't recognize truth standing in front of him. But our human quest for truth always finds fulfillment in Jesus Christ. That's what changed my life. You know, I was raised in a home that we talked about a church, and we talked about our relationship and going to church and the religious activities and all of that. But when I finally gave up and sought the truth of the gospel and I opened my heart up, and July the 21st, 6 o'clock in the morning in the middle of my swimming pools, I was down and out, so to speak. And the only place I had was to look up, and I asked Christ to come into my life. There were no lightning flashes or anything like that. But little by little, when I stayed true to what the truth is and followed the scripture and changed my relationships with people and started seeking relationships with people, church people, if you would, and they ministered to me, then AA ministered to me, and it's just a wonderful thing to look back and see how my life has changed. But, you know, John, Matthew, all those disciples walked with Jesus. And they testified to the fact that we saw with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. And we can trust that New Testament claim of Christ's resurrection. You know why? Because the story is told by eyewitnesses. They were there. Does God really expect us to tell the truth all the time? Now, that's an interesting challenge, especially when we got people running that wants to lead us and different things like that. Can we really expect them to tell us the truth all the time? No. In Exodus 20:16, it says, do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Now, God's law clearly forbids intentional lying. Sometimes we do lie and don't intend to lie, but there were situations and so forth, maybe a little white lie won't hurt. God's word says a lie is a lie. Anyhow, I think we've all guilty of little white lies. I know I have, and maybe even some big lies. Thank God for a God who forgives. Not once, not twice, hundreds, thousands of times, we call it repentance. So, instead of trying to let the world creep in, we should hold to the truth in love. That love was revealed to us through Jesus Christ. So Christ's followers are called to speak the truth, always and in a loving manner. As hard as that is, you know, we need to be seed planters, if you would. I like to call it that way, and hold people to account. I always want to be held accountable. I don't like it sometimes, but it's good to hold each other accountable based on the Word of God, because truth will stand the test of time. Proverbs 12:19. And those who stand for truth will be saved by God. 1 Timothy 4:16. And this is the key. All scripture teaches truth. And it was inspired by the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to test the spirit and make sure it's of me. And you can be reaffirmed in 2 Timothy 3:16. Well, that's my old thoughts today. This segment that we put together is entitled Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. So you heard all my thoughts. And prayer is important. It really and truly is. And intercessory prayer is very, very important. Now, I don't know if you pay much attention to it, but all the prayer concerns that we put in the bulletin, we just didn't arbitrarily put them in there. Somebody requested to be in there. So we're always faithful to do that. And it's just an outreach, so to speak, of intercessory prayer. And we also pray for our little church, and we pray for our denomination and our country, and all those that are affected by storms, and those that are serving in the military, especially on this Veterans Weekend. Veterans Day is actually Saturday. But I'm finding out as I'm seeing that the politicians kind of help a little bit, and they say, well, no, we're going to start celebrating on Friday. And that's a good thing that we celebrate and honor veterans on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think that's a pretty cool thing. But we also like to lift up our EMS people, our fire and healthcare professionals and home health givers and teachers and just, you know, just on and on and on. We do pray a special prayer for all of those that are listed on our prayer list, and also some that we have mentioned aloud in church and different things. And one of my pastor parish relations chairman from a church that I served before, Jeff Mons, is in Gainesville doing open heart surgery, and we want to pray for him, and we want to pray for all of those who have challenging things. And Dave Watson, for one, with his eyes, but there are just so many. The Patsy White family, you know, Patsy went home to be with the Lord. Lon and Lucy Wright, and many other people. Howard and Ruth Zodi, or Janie Brown Zodi, is her husband has got elderly parents up in Pennsylvania. But I said all this to say this: you don't need a preacher like me praying for you. You know, or you don't need a priest, or you don't need anybody, because if you accept Christ in your life, you got direct access to the Holy of Holies. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. And you can do it individually. That's what makes it so wonderful. It's great that we list all these, but you don't need a list. You don't need an 800 number. You don't need anything other than what Jesus told us to do, is to go to your prayer closet and pray. And what's that mean? It means that you can pour your heart out to God. You don't have to do like the hypocrites do. We talked about that last week. Out in the public and different things. And, you know, just you can go and be still someplace. Could be outside, could be in a chair, could be in your work. You can do it physically, you can do it verbally or spiritually, and just pour your heart out. That's what makes it so special. A friend of mine used to say, I'm just going to crawl up on Daddy's lap and ask him to hold me and hear me. And guess what? He's faithful to do that. It's an interesting concept, this relationship with the living God through Christ. And then he went on to be with the Father, and then he sent us one greater than him, as the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what language you pray to him in, because your spirit connects to his spirit. Man, you got it. So, with all that, you know, when the disciples were here on earth and Jesus walked with them for 3 years, they walked everywhere in the area of the Galilee and in around Israel and different things. And at the end of the day, sort of like campers, you know, at the end of the day, or hunters, you know, at the end of the day, you stop what you're doing and you build a fire and you cook some fish and, you know, you fellowship with one another. And Then when dinner is over, Jesus went off by himself. That puzzled the disciples for a while, and they said, Lord, why do you go off by yourself after we stop for the day and eat and have fellowship? And he said, well, guys, now, you know, I talk about imagination. And when you're reading Scripture, you need to put yourself right in there. And sort of like with your imagination, try to understand maybe what the disciples were talking about or what Jesus was talking about. It's conversation. So this is Ralphie. I wasn't there. Jesus said, okay, God, well, you've been with me long enough now to know that I'm God, right? Yeah. I'm in the flesh. Yeah. We're grateful. So I get tired, like you guys. I get hungry. And I need to talk to the Father. Talk to the Father? Yeah. Can we do that? He said, you betcha. I'm going to give you a prayer to line up with all your prayers. It's sort of like, you know, a model prayer. In Jesus' name, this is it. As we pray it together, spiritually, with me, or just in your own mind, as you're listening to this, we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day, and ask us forgiveness. I missed my little note, so I'm doing it by memory. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive my sins and trespasses, as I have forgiven those and you have forgiven me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, we were talking about teaching stuff for the children and so forth. And, you know, even growing up in school and at home and the little bit of time, we learned these things. We learned the Lord's Prayer by memory and by rote, we could say it. 23rd Psalm was the same way. So many of the other scriptures. But our children don't get, I say our children, a lot of the children in our day and time don't get it. And not in school, not at home, and certainly not in church, because we don't have a lot of kids coming in church. Now you're going from preaching to meddling, preacher. Thank you for tuning in. God loves you, and so do I.